Chapter 1. The first thing the groundskeeper saw when he went to tend to the small cemetery behind St. Sebastian's was the body that someone had forgotten to bury. She was lying on top of a grave, her head pressed close to the headstone, her arms crossed over her stomach. She was almost as white as the 7 faded granite markers that surrounded her. The groundskeeper took a deep breath, dropped his trowel, and crossed himself. He inched toward the body and leaned over, casting a shadow. Somewhere overhead, a gull screamed, and as the woman's eyes flew open, the groundskeeper turned and ran through the iron gate into the dizzying streets of Los Angeles. The woman looked into the sky. She didn't know where she was, but it was quiet. And since her head was pounding, she was grateful. She tried to remember how she'd gotten there in the first place. Sitting up, she touched the gravestone and squinted as the letters dipped and blurred before her eyes. She pulled herself to her feet and balanced against the stone for support. Then she leaned over and retched, clutching her stomach and blinking back tears at the pain shooting through her temples. "A church," she said aloud, jumping at the pitch of her own voice. "This is a church." She walked to the gate and stared at the cars and buses going by. She had taken 3 steps away from the church before she realized she didn't know where she was supposed to go. "Think," she commanded herself. She put a hand to her forehead and felt the slip of her own blood. "Jesus," she said. Her hand was trembling. She felt for a tissue in the pocket of her jacket, a worn bomber jacket she couldn't remember buying, and came up instead with a tube of Blistex and $2.24 in change. She stepped back toward the graveyard and looked behind the headstones for a pocketbook, a knapsack, a clue. "I was mugged," she said, wiping her brow with her sleeve. "I must have been mugged." She ran to the door of the rectory and banged, but it was locked. She moved to the gate again, planning to go to the closest police station and tell them what had happened. She would give her address and she would call. Who would she call? She stared at a bus sighing at the corner stop. She didn't know where she was. She didn't know the closest police station. She didn't even know her own name. Chewing on a fingernail, she stepped back inside the gate where she felt safer. She knelt beside the grave she'd been lying upon and rested her forehead against the cool headstone. Maybe the priest would be back soon, she thought. Maybe someone would come by and offer to help her. Maybe she'd just stay right there. Her head began to throb, a drumbeat that threatened to split her in two. She sank to the ground and lay back against the gravestone again, pulling her jacket close to ward off the chill of the earth. She would wait. She opened her eyes, hoping for answers, but all she could see were clouds that covered the sky like a bruise. There wasn't enough land in California. He could feel it, beating like a hammer at the base of his throat. This claustrophobia born of the hissing asphalt under his tires, and the condos pressed so close they left no room to breathe. So he kept driving west to find the ocean, hopefully before it got dark. He had never seen it. There had only been pictures and accounts from his mother and his father. He remembered stories his father had told him, stories he hadn't believed at the time, of Indians jailed in the 1800s who died overnight because they couldn't stand the confinement. He thought of the statistics from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which said that 66% of Indians who left the reservations returned, unable to live in the cities. Of course, he wasn't entirely Sioux, but he wasn't entirely white either. He smelled it before he saw it. The wind carried the salt from the waves. He parked the rusted second-hand pickup on the shoulder of the road and ran down the sloping dune. He didn't stop running until his sneakers were submerged. Until water stained the thighs of his jeans like tears. A gull screamed. William Flying Horse stood with his arms outstretched, his eyes fixed on the Pacific Ocean, but seeing instead the brindled plains and rolling Dakota hills that he would not call home. On the Pine Ridge Reservation in South Dakota, Route 18 took you into town, and if you wanted to get anywhere else, you navigated by natural landmarks or long-abandoned vehicles, since there weren't many other roads. But it had been 3 days since he'd moved to Los Angeles, and Will had